Welcome to Medically Speaking, Auburn's own medical radio show with host Dr. Mark Vaughn of the Auburn Medical Group and Larry Finney.
Good morning, Auburn and surrounding foothills area and the whole world listening to us on the World Wide Web through our streaming at khi.com and our podcast. Welcome to Medically Speaking Radio for this September, what is this, the 12th?
This is the
12th. September 12th, 2009. Welcome back. We want to touch a couple of things here. Larry, you had a late night last night?
I did. My church provides cleanup at the Gold Country Fair. We've been doing it for 4 years now, and I probably got to bed at around 2.
Around 2. Where were you cleaning up?
We did restrooms.
Okay.
And the stadium. We got to clean up the stadium after Fast Fridays.
You know, Leanne always volunteers for the very first opening of the fair, so there's not a whole lot of trash out yet.
Yeah.
But her shoulder, she's holding her shoulder funny ever since carrying those bags around. So.
Yeah. Well, yesterday was $4 Friday, so there were considerably more people than on Thursday.
And Thursday was Free Kids Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be...
I have enough kids of my own. I don't want any for free. I would not take any more even for free.
I thought it meant something different, but maybe you're right. We are going to be at the Gold Country Fair tomorrow from noon to 2.
Not 2 a.m.
2 p.m.
Oh, good.
Noon to 2, yeah.
Good. I can't take another one of those.
We're going to be there. And our viewers on the internet right now, they're watching us on Ustream.com or through MedicallySpeakingRadio.com, can see the scrubs we will be wearing. And they'll see what yours says, Larry Finney, M.D., except on the M.D.
There's a little circle, a little red circle with a slash through it. Now, we were wondering, what the heck is the name of that symbol? We know everything has a name, right? Everything's got a name in this world.
Kind of like ampersand for the at on the email address.
Or the little hard thing on the end of your shoelaces that makes it easy to thread them through the eyelets.
There's a name for that?
It's called an egglet.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am the archivist of all things trivial.
Okay.
But you have to help me out. I do not know the name of the symbol that is the circle with the slash through it, meaning no or not or...
Like no smoking.
Like no smoking. Or in this case, circle slash over the MD, meaning Larry, not a doctor.
Not a doctor, Larry Finney.
Right. So I think we should open it up to our listeners to find out what exactly that thing is. It's like on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's the phone-a-friend thing or polling the audience. Polling the audience. And the audience is seldom wrong.
Isn't that amazing how good that is?
Now, we could try to show it to our listeners, our viewers, I should say. But let's just, everybody knows what we're talking about. It's the circle with the slash.
Okay, let's see.
So what is the name,
can they see
listeners?
Over the stream here.
But while you guys, I can hear the sounds of thousands of keyboards clicking out there in internet land. The number to call is 885-3565, or for those of you listening to us in Europe, 1-800-950-KAHI, which is 5244. Don't forget to dial the country code first for the United States.
Is somebody going to call from Switzerland?
Could be. I don't know.
Okay. We'll take the call. Again, that's 885-3565 if you know the name of that. There's something else that I'm going to want people to call in about, and that's a little bit of debate about that article about what happened with the patent rejection in India, but we won't get into that until a little bit later. Before that, we want to remind people that we do indeed have a few things that you can do outside of just listening to this on the radio to participate in Medically Speaking Radio. You can even write to us questions that we will answer on the show.
We may not have the right answers, but we will write. We will answer.
Mm-hmm. And that would be through our Facebook fan site. We encourage anybody on Facebook to become a fan of Medically Speaking Radio. You also can participate by listening to podcasts. You can subscribe to those. There's instructions for that also on Medically Speaking Radio. And you can listen to us, if you can't get us on your AM radio, you can try www.khi.com. And we're very pleased that we got a rating this week on iTunes that helps increase our rankings there. We also want to encourage people to support our advertisers, Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, Sutter Auburn Hospice, the Auburn Medical Group, a new one, Lake of the Pines Music, and we're going to use a little bit of what they helped us with later in the show today for a remote recording, Auburn Drug, Dr. Rodney Kihara, and Gritstone Rock Club, which had a competition last night. They had a rock climbing competition and a little bit of a crate stacking competition.
Explain crate stacking.
Okay, crate stacking. You guys are all familiar with the old milk crates. Usually they're a hard plastic. Usually have the name of a milk company.
Rather dairy. Cubical looking.
Yeah.
They're
cube. They're hard plastic. They're open at one end. Well, you put the open end down on the ground, put the next one on top of it, and they interlock.
Okay.
So crate stacking is stacking these up, standing on them. With each successive one that you put on, you stand in the handle holds where your hands would go through.
Oh, because as the stack gets higher and higher,
you have to climb up. So people throw the next one up to you. So they were doing this at Gritstone Rock Club last night, and they would have them on a harness, belayed from above, so that when the whole thing falls down, when you're up 17 high, you don't get injured.
Okay, in other words, the climber was belayed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, not the all people right. watching, not the audience.
Or the crates.
So we have a sound file for that, and this is actually James as he's approaching the 17th. Actually, he's putting on the 17th as you listen to it, and you can hear the sound of the crowd. Listen to this. And it crashes. And then, of course, everybody gives applause when it goes down because it's so exciting, man. And because James was able to get 17 of them.
I think you had 17. 17.
17?
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Now, does it count if you're not standing on top of the top
one? I didn't stand on top.
Oh, so I guess 16.
So it counted to 16 since he couldn't actually stand on top of 17 of them.
So how many feet high was he at the time?
Well, how tall are these things? A normal milk crate is more, it's a little bit taller than 1 foot. So he was close to 20 feet in the air there.
Hmm.
Supposedly the world record last night they were saying is 24.
So he was a bit off the world record, but was that his first attempt?
No. They've been doing this for a while, getting ready for it. And then last night when they had the competition, he got up to that 16.
Who won?
Oh, you know what? We're going to have somebody call in on that because I don't know if that was the best or not. There was another girl there who's doing quite well. And I've seen her earlier in the week get higher than that.
Okay, so we need to maybe bribe some callers with prizes or something to get them to...
There was also an injury last night. It was actually a knee injury. And since next week is our knee talk with Dr. Bergeson, I thought it might be appropriate to also get follow-up on that because I know everybody was concerned about the injury that occurred. So if your child had a knee injury at the rock climbing competition last night, go ahead and call in at 885-3565 because we'd like an update on that too. Okay. We're going to be getting into our news here pretty soon. Before that, we have somebody that called in and said that the milk crates are about 11 inches tall. So thank you for that correction, John. 11 inches tall. We'll go with that instead of my more than 12 that I was...
John the Dairyman.
It must be.
Yeah.
So in the news, we still have the H1N1 news. You know, I was trying to look at the CDC website, which I recommend to everybody, cdc.gov. You can get a lot of good information there about H1N1. It answers a lot of questions that we were talking about earlier, like what do you look for, how long are you going to be sick, what do you do? But one of the questions that's come up in our office specifically is about antiviral treatment. Hey, I'm pretty sure I have the symptoms. I read on the internet I have the symptoms. Can I get the medicine? Well, here's what we're being given, and this is from the county health department. Who qualifies for antiviral treatment? Well, it's high-risk groups. A person who's at high risk for complications of this new flu virus is defined as the same as for someone getting seasonal flu virus. And so these are the groups. Children younger than 5 years old, because the risk for severe complications from seasonal flu is highest among children younger than 2 years old. So children under 5, adults 65 years of age and older. They're recommending that they also get actual antiviral treatment.
Now, to be clear, this is not the vaccine.
No, this is you have the symptoms and you're letting your doctor know within 48 hours so the medicine actually makes a difference.
So this is treatment.
Yes, this is treatment. Children under 5, adults over 65, people with chronic conditions like chronic pulmonary conditions, including asthma, cardiovascular, that doesn't mean just high blood pressure you take medicine for. This means actually having some significant heart disease. Renal or kidney disease, hepatic or liver disease, hematological, including sickle cell disease, neurologic, and this doesn't mean just headaches or migraine. This is a more severe neurologic complication. Neuromuscular disease, metabolic disorders, including diabetes. Immunosuppression, which can be from medications or by HIV. Pregnant women. Anyone who's younger than 19 is on long-term aspirin therapy. That's a very small group of people. Residents of nursing homes and other chronic care facilities, like nursing homes. If you're in any of those groups and you think you may have H1N1 virus influenza right now, if you can catch it within the first 48 hours and tell your doctor, you qualify for treatment according to the latest recommendations by Placer County Health Department.
But that's assuming that the Tamiflu or whatever actually works.
Which we're going to talk about after the break.
Gridstone Rock Club is Auburn's premier climbing and fitness facility. They offer rock climbing instruction for climbers of all ages and ability level. In addition to classes, Gridstone Rock Club hosts birthday parties, has a team-building ropes course, and provides professional outdoor instruction. If you want to climb with Gridstone Rock Club, contact them at 530-885-ROCK or online at gridstonerockclub.com.
Larry, have you ever been to Auburn Drug Company?
Yeah, that's the one with the marble soda fountain at 815 Lincoln Way.
Yeah, right there in front they have the marble fountain, and in back is an independently owned pharmacy right here in Auburn.
And that thing has been around for a long time.
Since the 1800s. They are so great because they actually fill your prescriptions when you ask them to, unlike the chain drug stores that make you wait.
You know, and waiting there wouldn't be a big crime because, heck, you could always go to the soda fountain. That's Auburn Drug Company at 815 Lincoln Way in downtown Auburn. Give them a call at 885-6524.
Few things in life are harder than thinking about serious illness or the death of someone you love. Research confirms that Americans want the basic services that hospice provides. Care at home or in a home-like setting. Treatment that preserves a sense of dignity and respect. Emotional and spiritual support for patients and for their families, and effective pain management. Hospice helps patients and their families deal with end-of-life challenges in a life-affirming, compassionate way that brings dignity, hope, and love to every day of life. This message of love and caring is the focus of hospice care. This message is brought to you by Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice. We can be reached at 886-6650 or click on the link for Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice on the Medically Speaking Radio website.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
But we don't know what it's called, though.
We don't know what it's called. That's why we have people calling in.
Well, okay. So do we have anything to offer them? Any little freebie to bribe them?
If they look at our show notes page, and we don't actually have anything written on the show notes for this show, unless something comes up that we need to make sure people can access either on the internet or by telephone. On our show notes page, you can scroll down a few weeks and you'll see a picture of the hat from Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital that we have to give away to someone who has the answer to the question, what is that symbol called?
The symbol, the little red circle with the slash.
Just like, now if they're looking online at the video stream of our show that you can get at medicallyspeakingradio.com, they can see us pointing at it right now in your scrubs, that very symbol.
Well, it looks like the microphone's right in the way. Let me move closer to the video cam.
Well, I can actually move the camera right up to you.
Extreme close-up. This is like Wayne's World. Extreme close-up. Okay. Here we go.
All right. So now I'm away from the mic, but there you can see it. Those three of you who are watching the video, that's the symbol. And what we're going to do is go ahead and give away the hat to whoever can call in and tell us what that is. There we go. Okay. I think we have everything back to after knocking the microphone out of the computer there. Okay.
You know, we were going to tell people about Tamiflu. You know,
you had
48 hours to get yourself fixed, but what if the fix doesn't fix?
What if the fix doesn't fix? We're going to get to that as soon as we take this call from Cheryl.
Wow. Yeah. Hey Cheryl.
Hi.
Where are you calling from, Cheryl?
Auburn.
Okay.
Outer Auburn.
The outer Auburn, Baja Auburn.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I need to ask Cheryl. Cheryl, are you the same Cheryl who called in earlier this morning on another show?
Yes.
Okay. Just asking.
A serial caller. There's help
I
for
listen.
You. Okay, excellent. We love that. The circle with the slash, what is that thing called?
I know there's a name for it, but it's like, don't drink it, don't use it.
Exactly.
But stop. It's danger.
But there's a name. It has a name. It's not ampersand. We've established that.
Right. And nor is it an eaglet. That's the thing that makes your shoelaces capable of going through the eyelets.
Okay.
But no, what we're looking for is the official name. But we appreciate the call, Cheryl.
Cheryl, okay, bye. We appreciate you listening, too. We're always glad to have listeners. Okay. So, but thank you, Cheryl. You were talking about what if Tamiflu doesn't work, and you are right. When the CDC looks at all of the samples of influenza virus, they are finding that there are some H1N1 viruses that have resistance to Tamiflu. What we're not finding is resistance to the other drug called Relenza, I don't know the name off the top of my head for Relenza, the generic name. It's a drug that's actually sprayed in your nose, each nostril, and you do that for 5 days for the treatment for H1N1 or for any seasonal influenza. They also find that both with this novel H1N1, the swine flu, and with regular seasonal flu, the old generic antivirals like amantadine and ramantadine just don't work at all, or barely. So we do want to lean towards Relenza if we can, if you can do that spray in the nose. Tamiflu still seems to work on a lot of swine flu, maybe 70% of it. But there is a problem that was in the news. This is out of Reuters, and they found that some campers developed resistance to the flu. There was a camp in, I believe, South Carolina, and the doctor decided he was going to give all of the campers and staff prophylactic Tamiflu. Prophylactic meaning you don't have symptoms. Somebody here may have flu. We're just going to treat all of us and keep us from getting it. He took this upon himself to do it. It's against all the recommendations. Not only do we not recommend that you do that, we probably wouldn't even recommend that you treat many of these young, healthy campers, even if they had it, because it's just not that much you gain from treating someone for an illness that's self-limited and in most people isn't causing that much illness, especially when we have limited supplies of antiviral drugs. So he took it upon himself to do that, and what do you know? Two campers got it anyway, and when you test them, the CDC found it out that they had resistant strains. So he may have selected out resistant strain that now we all get to benefit from because we have less virus. Oh, and we have that name. Thank you, Dr. Shahid. Dr. Shahid is actually here in the studio with us getting ready for his segment later on the show. Came up with the name of Relenza. The generic name is Zanimivir.
All right, it sounds like a villain in a Superman comic book.
Doctor can't pronounce it.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't want me to talk about West Nile virus. There's 26 total cases.
That thing is such a nothing burger.
Okay,
it's a bread sandwich. Just move on.
Have you heard about this? What's going on in India with the HIV drug?
I have not. Tell me.
Okay. HIV drugs, these are antiviral drugs, different types. They kill the virus, HIV virus, so that you can be treated for it. And when drugs come out, drug companies get patents on them. And when you have a patent, you are the only one who can sell that drug until the patent runs out in 12 years or whatever it is. And then anybody can manufacture that drug. Well, there's two new antiviral drugs. And in India, HIV and AIDS groups were successful in getting the government to reject the patent, which means you can't exclusively make this drug that you invented. So anybody can manufacture this drug, so the price is going to go way down, which is great for people who have the disease. And Dr. Shahid was telling me earlier that in India, where it's totally cash economy when it comes to healthcare, you know, people just simply aren't getting this because they don't have health insurance.
Well, so let's put this in terms even someone like myself can understand. Someone has invented something. Something has worked. Someone's worked very hard spent a lot of research and development on a product, and it is suddenly public domain.
Yes.
They can't patent it.
Not only that, which, you know, there's some concern. I mean, it's great for patients. I'm very happy that patients get the drug at an affordable price, and lives will be saved because of this. So it's kind of hard to argue against that. But on the other side, if somebody can't recoup their research and development costs, this isn't going to go on for very long. And the other thing that really burns me on this is, yes, the HIV and AIDS groups got this particular drug for their disease, not patented. But what about all the other people out there, all the other groups that also would benefit and have their lives prolonged. People with diabetes, people with cancer that need chemotherapy.
People with Shanghai elbow.
People.
I saw a lot of those people last night at the fair. The later you stay at the fair, the more you stay, at least the early stages of it.
That's why Leanne gets that real early shift.
Yeah.
So that, because this has so many elements to it, I thought this would be a good issue for us to allow people to call in and talk about. The call-in number is 885-3565. If you want to talk about this issue of not allowing a patent to a company for a drug, or the issue of one particular disease group getting this for them, but other people that have other equally deadly diseases not getting the benefit of their drugs being patent-free engineered.
Or if you know the name of that little red circle with the slash symbol.
Yes,
I got to know. It's driving me nuts.
And we weren't talking about the caduceus. Caduceus is a symbol of medicine, and that's not what we were talking about. We're talking about the circle with a slash through it. It's actually not a medical question.
It's not a medical question, but it's a good question. It's a good trivia question.
But it's relevant to the show because your scrubs have that on them.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on with the news. What was your news item this week?
Do I have just some practical issues about swine flu. Apparently there was a study done recently. It's published in the September 10th New England Journal of Medicine that says that only one shot will take care of it. On the vaccination. It was formerly believed that it would take two.
That's what I've been telling my patients up till now, because that's what we were told by the county when we applied for getting our number of swine flu vaccines.
Right, and if that's so, then your inventory has just doubled. And
that's great news.
And the logistics of having to take 2 days off work or whatever.
That's tremendous. Yeah. Very good news, and my patients will be glad to hear they only have to come in for one shot for a swine flu vaccine.
Especially those who are, shall we say, skin puncture averse.
That would be me, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You yourself are afraid of needles?
Oh, my goodness. Jen sits at the front desk at work.
Yeah.
One time when I was getting a shot, she did a video of it on her phone. Mm-hmm. And this video, I think, still exists somewhere. It may even be on YouTube now. But it shows me cowering in a corner. Actually, the chair is all the way back against the wall and against the next wall in a corner, with me turning away as, I think it's Polly, is giving me the shot.
And you have no trouble handing it out, though.
I can't take it, but I can dish it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Where are we on our list of things to do here? Our to-do list, our honey-do list.
I would say that...
I think we're at the point now where we need to have our last commercial break before we have our guests come on, because after the break, we're going to have Dr. Shahid speaking about cancer treatment. Dr. Shahid, who is the founder of North Cal Hematology and Oncology here in Auburn, working out at Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, did his residency at a Bankton Hospital in Philadelphia and fellowship in oncology and hematology at Georgetown University. Did you know they have a university in Georgetown?
Oh, just across the divide here? You're just near Cool.
He was telling me earlier about a patient who asked him where he did his training. He said, oh, I went to Georgetown. He said, oh, I went to Georgetown Elementary, too.
the Georgetown Elementary Hoyas. Yeah, here we go.
Different Georgetown. Okay, after this commercial break, we'll be back with Dr. Shahid. Collapsed.
You know to call 911, but how long is it going to take for them to get there? Do you know what to do? Smart Heart CPR will give you the skills and knowledge to be the first link in their survival. With over 40 years combined experience as paramedic firefighters, Smart Heart will train you in a fun and relaxed environment. Visit us at smartheartcpr.com or call 916-704-4470. That's 916-704-4470, smartheartcpr.com.
Since 1966, Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital has been providing award-winning care to members of the community, to people just like you. The tradition of excellence continues today with our comprehensive family birth center, cancer services, 24-hour emergency care, and a whole range of outpatient services with convenient hours and locations to serve you.
In addition, we've been recognized for excellence in managing heart attacks, heart failure, pneumonia, and surgical care. We are one of a select few hospitals in the state to earn recognition from VHA's West Coast region for sustained outstanding clinical performance.
To learn more about Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, visit us on the web at sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio. That's sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio.
Sutter Health, with you for life.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I want to tell you about my dentist, Rodney Kihara. His office is located right in town at High Street and Auburn Folsom Road. His staff is pleasant. They smile when you walk in, and you know who they are because they're there every time. We're talking about Flo, Cheryl, and Judy. Their pleasant faces welcome you into the office and let you know that you're in the right spot, a comfortable place to go to the dentist. Call Dr. Kihara's office at 888-1966. That's 888-1966.
The doctor would say, don't stick anything in your ear. Unless, of course, it's medically speaking. On K-High, the voice of the foothills. Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
Okay, we're finally back after that break with Dave. I don't know the power that Dave has, that he can just hijack our show like that. We're going to get on. I'm sorry. Somebody's telling me that it was actually Butch Gardner, not Dave, and I'm giving Dave a bad name. Sorry, Dave, if you're out there, we love you. Okay, I will not do the disclaimer just yet because the listeners have been listening and waiting for Dr. Shahid all this time during that interruption. So, without any further ado, Dr. Shahid, speaking on cancer treatment. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Shahid.
Thank you for having me.
We always like having you because you are so knowledgeable about cancer and its treatment. And last time we talked about screening, and now... Tell us, what happens once I've been told I have cancer because I did the screening? What's the next step?
There are three things with cancer. The first thing is the diagnosis. So you get a screening exam, and then somebody says, oh, there's a spot on your lung, there's something wrong in the breast. So what do we do next? So the cancer's not diagnosed till we have a biopsy. So we need to look at these cancer cells under the microscope to say it is cancer. It has happened in my own practice. I have seen patients who have been sent, told they have cancer. There's a chest x-ray which is showing something there, and eventually biopsy was negative, nothing showed on the biopsy, treated with antibiotics, and everything was okay. Doesn't happen that often. Very rarely it happens, but it does happen. So we need to do the biopsy. So as soon as somebody gets a scan and it's abnormal, the next step is getting a biopsy. Now, that tells us, okay, we have cancer. So next question comes to your mind, or which you should be asking, is, I have cancer. How much do I have? Is it spread out? Is it just sitting there? Because that's going to impact how you're going to be treated.
And there's different ways it spreads. It spreads both locally, invading this tissue around it.
Yes.
And
it can go through the bloodstream and go further away from where it started. Let's say if it's a lung cancer, it could spread through the bloodstream and goes to the bones. So what that means is that it's not just sitting in the lungs. It's gone somewhere else as well.
So when people have heard the term metastasize or metastasis, that's what they're talking about.
That's what they're talking about. And the other technical term doctors throw around is called staging. Staging is very, very important for us. And this is what I mean by staging. Is the tumor just confined to the organ so we can go take it out? Or is it spread locally? Locally means, has it just traveled around a little bit further away from it, maybe to the lymph nodes? Or has it gone all the way to the bones? Because once it's gone to the bones or somewhere else, we cannot take it out surgically. So that's the second step. So a person needs to be, what we say, staged. In a simpler term, we need to know how much cancer a person has. Now, there are three different treatments going forward from there. There's a surgery. If it's small, we can take it out. We take it out. Or then there is radiation and chemotherapy. So radiation, the advantage of radiation is surgeon goes in, takes it out. If there are any cancer cells left behind in the local area, we can do the radiation to kill them, to prevent it from coming back again. But once it's spread out, you need something which goes everywhere. And that's where these chemotherapy and now what we call newer drugs called targeted therapies, or what CNN calls smart bombs, those are used because they go all over the body. So if it's already spread out, then we're left with treating it with the medicines.
Now, we've had chemotherapy, which is targeted because it targets rapidly dividing cells and kills them. So most of the body, since we're not rapidly dividing the cells and growing, does okay, except for things like the lining of the GI tract, lining of the respiratory tract, and
hair follicles.
hair follicles and the cells that make blood in our bone marrow. So that's where chemotherapy is. Now, these smart bombs are something different. They're even more targeted. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. So I commonly give an example of traditional chemotherapy being a shotgun approach. So you fire, you kill the bad thing, but you also have a scatter. So you have side effects from it. Hair follicles divide, as Dr. Wan was mentioning. You lose hair. It affects the dividing blood cells. Your blood counts can go down. You're at risk of infection. Your red cells go down. You feel tired. So it has a scatter there. It kills the good cells as well. So now think about a vaccine. How does a vaccine work? They take a particle from the virus, which we want to kill, inject it in a mouse, inject it in a rabbit, and the mouse or a rabbit makes antibodies to it. What are the antibodies? Antibodies are the proteins which our own body makes to fight anything, any foreign thing in our body. It could be viruses, it could be anything else. So can we make something which is like a vaccine which fights an infection? It's a simplistic way of explaining the targeted therapy. So what they did is, we learned a lot about cancer cells. So we learned what makes these cancer cells different. So I'll give you an example. In breast cancer, we have historically been using the terminology estrogen receptors. What that means is that you look at the cancer cells, you stain it, the pathologist stains it, and finds if that cell has a spot where estrogen can attach, which is a hormone, and makes that cancer cell grow. So the next step was, can we do something about this? This breast cancer cells needs estrogen to grow. Can we block it? Can we deprive of it? And will it die? And they did test on it. They did the clinical trials. And the medication, which has been around for a long time, called tamoxifen, what it does is it blocks the estrogen from attaching to cancer cells, and those cancer cells die. So what that does is it just affects the cancer cell. Has some other side effects, but not as severe as the regular chemotherapy. So in a sense, this is the earliest form of targeted therapy. So it's a smart bomb.
Now, you said tamoxifen actually kills the breast cancer cells?
Yes.
Or keeps them from being stimulated to grow?
It kills as well. When you use the terms, keeps it from stimulated to grow, that means it's just keeping them there. I have used tamoxifen in people who have cancer, and I've seen it disappear when I do the scan. So it does kill the cells as well. So this is a historical for a long time. This was the only targeted therapy we had. Now, they've took this a step further. So they identified more spots on the cells. And the next step was developing drugs. And that's what they did. And there are newer medications which we use, trastuzumab, it's called Herceptin. So what it does, there's another spot on the breast cancer cell called HER2 receptor. I didn't name it. I don't know who named it. So don't blame me for the name. So that's a spot on the cancer cell. And they developed a drug to it. So it's basically made the same way the vaccine is made. They used it in a mouse or a rabbit and developed a vaccine, did the clinical trial. And in 2004, we have the American Society of Clinical Oncology every year. That was the big news. And 2004 was the year when things moved toward target therapies. So now all of oncology is moving more and more towards targeted therapies. And why am I stressing on that is, because there are advantages of that. It just kills the cancer cells and not the other cells, and has less side effects.
Okay, and we want to talk more about targeted therapy, because this is a new thing and a lot of people are not familiar with this at all. And cancer treatments happened in their family just the last few years. But right now we need to take a break. We're going to run some commercials here, and then we'll be back to talk about targeted cancer therapy.
Music, my little spot, and your music shop in the foothills. Over 125 kids, young and not so young, are taking lessons every week on almost every instrument you can think of, with the most comprehensive music teaching staff in Placer and Nevada counties. In 4 years, Lake of the Pines Music has established itself as a family-friendly and a fun place to find not only your special talent, but to share it. Students perform at monthly open mic nights, including the kids in our Rock Band 101 program. We sell, we fix, we rent, but many times we just like it when you come in and play, touch, listen. It's your music store. It should be filled with your music. You see, it's all about music at Lake of the Pines Music. Highway 49 at Wolf and Combi Roads. Call 530-268-2500 and just ask for Michael. I don't know much about a lot, but I know a lot about music.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I wanted to let you know a little bit about our practice at the Auburn Medical Group. The physician, nurses, and front desk personnel all approach the patient, asking themselves the question, how would I want to be treated if I was in the patient's shoes? Listen to what one of our patients has to say about her experience at the Auburn Medical Group.
My name is Susie Brown. I just want to sincerely thank that group of people for being there for me in some emergency situations. They are very efficient. Their staff, including their receptionist, even when you call her, she's got sympathy and compassion for you. And when you're ill, that's what you need. The nurses, the nurse staff is wonderful, and Dr. Vaughn listens to everything you say, and they just get on things. They do not let anything lag.
If you need a doctor, call us at 886-8630 or look at our website at auburnmedicalgroup.com.
Do you find yourself overspending, overeating, or in unhealthy relationships? Is your anger out of control, or do you struggle with drugs and alcohol? Are you tired of just trying harder to deal with your struggles? If you answered yes to any of these questions, there's help available. Celebrate Recovery is an international ministry that meets locally at Parkside Church, 3885 Richardson Drive, Auburn. Meetings are held every Friday night from 6 to 9:15 p.m. All areas of recovery are welcome. Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered, 12-step recovery program that offers real and lasting change. Contact Sheila Dobbin at 823-9911. That's 823-9911. For a listing of Celebrate Recovery locations, go to CelebrateRecovery.com. We invite you to join us at Parkside as we celebrate recovery.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
We're back from the break. We're here with Dr. Shahid speaking about targeted cancer therapies, the so-called smart bombs. We also want to invite our listeners to call in with their questions about cancer treatment at 885-3565. And even if you're not in the Auburn area or the Foothills area, you can call in at 1-800-950-5244. For those of you who are out there in internet land. Also, we can continue the conversation after the show. If you write in on the fan page on Facebook, we can have the dialogue continue there throughout the week. Dr. Shahid, tell us a little bit more about the targeted therapies. Now, Larry had a question over the break specifically about, is this replacing chemotherapy, radiation therapy, surgery?
Eventually, that's the goal. The problem with the traditional chemotherapy is the side effects, and all the shows on TV we see, everybody we show who's getting chemotherapy doesn't have hair, is throwing up. And that's not a good way of treating somebody. And quality of life is especially a big issue when we are treating cancer. Right now, these are not good enough that they can completely replace the traditional chemotherapy. So we're using mostly in conjunction with the chemotherapy and making people live longer, but eventually that's the goal. Now, what's the advantage of this? I can give you the drug which I was talking about before. What are the side effects from that? Side effects is pretty much like getting a vaccine shot. May give you a flu that day, next day, that's it. No hair loss, no nausea, no vomiting. There are some peculiar side effects here and there, less than 2%, but doesn't cause nausea, doesn't cause vomiting, doesn't cause people to be too tired, and doesn't cause hair loss. So these are very, very well tolerated. So that's a big, 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 big advantage. And if we can shift everything towards that, it becomes easier to treat. Now, another thing is, are they efficacious? And the same drug in 2004, when they've presented in the conference for the first time, the people who had breast cancer, who got that drug, had 40% less chance of breast cancer having come back, which is very significant.
Is that compared to no treatment or compared to traditional treatment?
Compared to just the traditional treatment versus traditional treatment plus addition of this this drug. So there was more than 40% benefit, which is extremely good. Now, that's just one way of using the target. For a long time, we just used to say chemotherapy, and for these new drugs, we didn't have a name. Now we're calling them targeted therapies. By the time this is getting established, now we have more drugs which we don't know which pocket to put in. So there are more targets we're attacking. Now, for a long time, we were using the term, okay, breast cancer, lung cancer, just looking at overall. No two people with same cancer, same size of cancer, have same results. So there is something different in everybody. We are individuals. And now we are moving more and more towards individualized therapy. So this, so if somebody else has the same kind of cancer, may end up getting different treatments. And now we have tests we can do which can look at the chromosomes, which can look at the genes, and give us an answer which drug is going to work. Let me explain to you what I mean by the genes first. Think about human body, or think about genes as letters in a word. Genes make proteins, and proteins are words, and words make sentence, and which eventually makes a paragraph and makes a whole human being. So if one word gets flipped over or is deranged and is not printing right, it can mess up the whole paragraph. So what if you can go in and correct that word and everything gets better? That's what I'm talking about. So now they're moving more and more towards is gene therapy. And this year, again, I'll go to the American Society of Clinical Oncology annual meeting, because that's one of the biggest oncology meetings we have in the world. About 60,000 people attend it every year. So one of the big buzz out of that is new drugs called PARP inhibitors. I don't know where they come up with the long, long names. This is an enzyme which repairs the cells when they get damaged. So basically what it does is it makes the cancer cells immortal. So that's the problem with cancer. These cells don't die and they keep growing. So they came up with a medication which inhibits it, which stops this enzyme from working and makes the cancer cells die. And also the advantage is it does not affect the normal cells. It just affects the cancer cells. So what they're doing with this is they're not just using it in breast cancer. They actually tried it in one of the most aggressive breast cancer, in which you don't have any other estrogen receptor or the HER2 receptor, which I was talking about before. So they used in that cancer, which is most aggressive, one of the most aggressive breast cancers. And these people were treated. I mean, it's not that these people were newly diagnosed. These people had been through chemotherapies and other drugs. So they didn't have anything else to offer, so they used this drug. So they compared with somebody with this drug or something else, that the people who were on this drug had three times more response than somebody who was not on this drug. So these are only clinical trials, and this one is looking at those genes, fixing those genes down in the human body. So we are moving towards fixing the main problem, which is a trigger, so that we don't have side effects we used to have and have the better results. And eventually, this may translate into a cure.
How many of these are you using now in your practice?
Now, the second question every time I get asked is, oh, you got the new drug, so we have to travel all the way down to San Francisco or MD Anderson or somewhere else to get that, which is not true. These drugs are available locally, and we are... currently using these medications here. Sutter Auburn Faith has been at forefront of providing us all these services. We use these drugs routinely in our infusion centers here locally. All the newest medications. We also have clinical trials. We enroll people in clinical trials as well here locally. They can, even if it's in a Stanford clinical trial, they can get seen there and get their treatment locally. Somebody with a cancer, it's not just that person's affected, but it's the whole family. And if they have to travel every week all the way to downtown or to San Francisco, that's very difficult. And especially if you're sick, that's even worse. So the push in oncology is having localized cancer treatment centers. And all these newer drugs and all these newer modalities, we do these routinely. It's not something novel for us. We do it on a day-to-day basis here locally. And we have actually all the cancer services available locally. We have radiation oncology here. We have very good pathologists. We have four surgeons here who take special interest in cancer surgeries. We have three medical oncologists here locally. And Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital has been very helpful in providing us the tools we need. Another thing I'm proud to say that is Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital was recently recognized by American College of Surgeons. What I mean by that is that they look at different institutions to see if they meet the national standards to be able to treat the cancer patients appropriately. And they come in. They have a very, very thorough process. It took us about a year or about a year plus to just that get that accreditation. And they came in and just combed through everything. They looked at the services we had. They looked at our charts. They interviewed patients. They interviewed nurses. They interviewed doctors. So they looked at multiple things. And that there are not many centers which have accreditation for that. And we did get that accreditation as being a very good cancer treatment center here from American College of Surgeons.
So do we actually have people coming from surrounding communities that may have their own hospital to Auburn to get their treatment at Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital?
Yes, I can say is we do have people. Actually, one unique thing about Auburn is that we just don't get people. We just don't serve the local people, local community. Just living in Auburn, we have a big catchment area. I have people coming from Truckee, and actually one of my patients comes from. I don't even know where he lives. I know where he lives. It's called Allegheny, and it's about 3 hours away. Wow. I have a few patients who are coming from Chico as well. Wow. Some of it is based on word of mouth. Some of them is based on their personal experiences and also the services we provide here.
Okay. We were also asking about, just briefly here, because we only have about a minute left. Can you tell us a little bit about the economic side of it with the whole healthcare debate that comes into it and with these new drugs and testing for the new drugs with genetic testing? What are we talking as far as cost compared to traditional treatment?
Right. The cost is a big issue. The cost is mainly, if you look at it, the cost of the drug is the research and development cost. So that's where the cost is. Manufacturing is not a bigger cost.
Okay.
So the cost is in development. So if you look at 10, 20 years ago, we had just the one drug, and now I'm talking about so many drugs around here, and it costs money. And it ends up being is how many dollars do we spend to save one life? And every life is precious.
Yeah.
And these are small steps moving towards finding a cure for cancer.
Okay. We'll talk more about that later. Dr. Shahid, we always like having you on the show. Thank you for telling us about cancer treatment at Auburn. We do, again, look forward to having you sometime in the future again.
Sure. Thank you.
We want to remind our listeners that Larry and I will be at the K-High booth at the Gold Country Fair tomorrow, Sunday, from noon to 2. And we'd be glad to meet our listeners. It means a lot to us to see you and to interact with you, talk with you. We like to do that. This is Dr. Mark Vaughn saying stay in good health.